What's up, everybody? Hey, I want to welcome you to Engaging Heaven today. I need to tell you that you were created for the supernatural. God has a plan for your life. In the next few moments, we're going to feed your spirit. We're going to cut through the fluff and get to the stuff. You're rocking with Engaging Heaven today. What's up, everybody? Hope you're doing well. Here we are, Friday edition. Let's get it in. Weekend's coming up. And we've had an awesome week, man. Wow. Powerful, powerful. Love the stories, the testimonies. And last 2 days, we've been talking a lot about boundaries. And today, we're going to talk about fresh oil. Fresh oil. Similar theme. I mean, it's like a thread's been all week, which has been amazing. Fresh oil. And we ended yesterday talking about personal boundaries and traditional boundaries. Those things are important. We've got to set the boundaries for our families. We've got to set the boundaries for our faith. Matthew 25:3 is another story that talks about boundaries and really talks about us being filled with fresh oil. It's the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven would be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but those that were wise took their oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. At the midnight cry, 'Behold, the bridegroom was coming. Let's go out to meet him.' All those virgins arose, trimmed their lamps, and the foolish ones said to the wise, 'Uh-oh, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest you need to go out for yourselves and sell them for yourselves and buy some.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those that were ready with him into the wedding, the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgin said, 'Lord, Lord, open the door.' And he said, 'I don't know you.'" We see in this scripture 5 foolish virgins and 5 wise ones. And it's interesting that, like, the verse that kept hitting me today was like, they slumbered and slept. Like, nothing really great happens when you're slumbering and you're sleeping. But if your oil is full, it is. I remember going to Charlotte, North Carolina, going to see a prophet one time. And on the way, I'm praying for somebody and they don't get healed. And I was frustrated. And I remember the first thing he said to me, he said, "I need to tell you something. Whether you raise the dead or take a nap, it's all the same in God's eyes if you obey." Isn't that interesting? They slumbered and slept. Oh, it's okay if you're obeying. There's a difference between resting with oil and resting without. Oil is a it's like a, prophetically speaking, it's the Holy Spirit, right? The Bible is filled with references of the Holy Spirit and oil and our filled level with God, right? The Holy Spirit fills us. And what is your filled level, right? They that hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be filled. What is your filled level? And the oil must stay full. As a believer, look, if you're listening to this podcast, chances are you're getting filled. You're in a good place. Because our oil must stay full, especially in a day where we're so distracted and we don't have time for anything. We've got to keep our lamps filled with oil and burning. Jesus said, "I came to find fire on the earth, and oh, how I wish it was already kindled." We have got to kindle the oil and the fire in our hearts. And when the 5 virgins woke up and they realized that they didn't get right, it was too late. So many references this week about trumpet sounding and God returning and you getting left. But what? Maybe you're today listening to me and maybe you're one of the 5 that have no oil. It's time to get filled. Don't get caught sleeping with no oil. on so many levels, I feel God telling us to prepare. I feel God telling us to prepare for awakening, prepare for revival, prepare for an outpouring of God's power and presence. In many ways, I feel God telling us to prepare for the second coming, get our hearts right. Look, we are living in some last days, folks. Jesus is coming again. I get it. I know some of y'all think you're cool and no one wants to believe in the rapture and all these weird theologies out there. The bottom line is Jesus is coming again. I don't care how you think he's coming, but he's going to show up. You better have your lamp filled with oil. And preparation is everything. One of the greatest keys we have to prepare is going to be told to you after the break. You're rocking with Engaging Heaven today.
Hey everyone, Rebecca here. We want to thank you for tuning into the Engaging Heaven Today podcast. As always, please subscribe to our daily devotionals. And when you get a moment, leave feedback and let others know how you're being blessed. You can find more information at www.engagingheaven.com.
What's up, baby? We're back. Look, one of the greatest keys we have on staying filled with oil is being filled with the Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 3 says that you would be filled with all the fullness of God. That word be literally is translated like a continuous be, like be, like an unlimited be. And the fullness is the full measure of God. So there's a couple things we get from that scripture. Number one, we've got to continuously be filled. Look, I don't care if your oil got topped off at a conference last year. I don't care if you think last week's service topped you off. I don't care about your 1980s, busted up YWAM experience. Nobody cares. No, seriously, nobody cares about last Tuesday's prayer meeting that really did something. It clearly didn't, okay? You have got to make sure that your oil stays full. It's a continuous be. It is a nonstop filling, and we've got to be filled with the full measure. It's a measure. You determine the measure. Moses, you determine the boundary. Fill yourself, son. Fill yourself. And we live in a day where we're trying to blame everybody else for our lack of oil. It ain't your pastor's problem. He ain't got nothing. It ain't your mom's problem. It's your issue. If I don't have my lamp filled with oil, I'm not blaming you. I'm not blaming a lack of revival. I'm not blaming another Christian. I'm not blaming my wife or my kids. It's your issue. It's your lamp. And the Lord's coming again. And he's going to come in awakening and power. And he's going to come with, look, I saw this with the Holy Spirit. You want to talk about guarding what's been entrusted to you? I realized that we came out of a season where if the Holy Spirit was a stock, man, that mug bottomed out a long time ago. But it's rising. And now all of a sudden, look, 10 years ago, we came to this area, started doing meetings, conferences. Man, it was unheard of in New England. It was a wasteland. Now every weekend there's a conference going on around us. I love that. I love it. Somebody has to protect what's theirs. Somebody has got to see like Nana farther than what they can see in front of them and believe for breakthrough. Went to my mom's yesterday. And it's always this weird experience because it is hood, man. It is loud music. And they're trying so hard. Like they try to like redo the siding of the building. Like you need to reside the people. Do you understand me? You can't reside. Just because you put lipstick on the building doesn't mean it's not a project. And you drive down the street and music's blaring and da-da-da-da-da. And it was so crazy. I looked across the street, literally across the street from my mom's apartment. And there's a basketball hoop. I knew it's always been there for the last few years. There's probably like 15 kids playing on that rim. And I just, out loud. I mean, it was just an awkward moment. My wife's driving. I'm looking out the window at these kids. And I said, you need to thank me for that court, dude. You need to thank me. I just want to go up to these kids, but you need to thank me legit, put my plaque on the wall out here. Because when I was their age, there was a swing set with two bars at the top, and we cut that mug down. We chucked the swing sets. Don't do this, friends. I wasn't saved. We cut the swing sets down, and we started playing hoop on the two bars. I bet you probably came with us. We played on the two bars. My jump shot was a 360 angle, baby. It didn't matter. It was literally two bars, and we just played on all sides, full court. And I remember one day I went to the offices, and I was like, can you give us a hoop, please? Every day we're playing full court on this monkey bars, man, please. And they're like, no, we're not going to do it. There's no budget, blah, blah, blah. So you know what I did? I got a notebook, and I went and petitioned everybody in the hood. And I said, do you want a hoop here? Please sign. It's like Barack Obama up in here trying to get votes in Chicago. Can you please sign? Can you please sign? I got like half the hood on my side. I went to the office. They're like, I love the signatures, but there ain't no money behind the signatures. What you want me to do with this? I ain't the whitehouse.gov. What you trying to say? This ain't change.org. What are you doing? I'm like, I don't even know what else to do. I'm just telling you. And then I just was like, I tried to hit the mayor up, but he knew I was crazy. And it was just like, look, I didn't even know. Dude. At one point, I was like, do you want us dead? Do you just want me in jail? Either put the hoop up or I'm going to prison. I mean, I tried everything I could. And I look now, and there's a beautiful little hoop up with a backboard and a net. And there's just lines drawn for half court. And I start getting angry. I'm like, these dudes, you wouldn't even be here. Legit. That court is sitting exactly in the spot that I would shoot a free pointer. Not a three-pointer. It was a free pointer. Friends, there was no three-point line. I would literally just make a game up playing. It was in the same spot. And these kids got basketballs and nets and backboards. And I'm just like, you little squirts, man. You need to thank me for this. I put all my effort out. And it was like, well, we're going to redevelop the ghetto and we're going to put a basketball hoop right here. No, you're putting it here because that's where we've been playing. It's Friday, friends. Look. There are times in your life, I'm so upset over this basketball hoop. I might just go make a layup just so I can just say that I did it in my lifetime. Look. There's times in your life that you're going to have to break through for other people. You may not experience it off the bat. You may not see the fruit of it immediately. But when you set the healthy boundaries and you keep your lamp filled with oil, one day you're going to realize, wow, I just did a funeral this week. And somebody stood in front of me and said, it just dawned on me. It was like a nana. She's a pastor. She said, it just dawned on me that I'm the matriarch of my family now. She said, I've been for years, but it just hit me that I'm the one now. And she said, that's a lot of responsibility. I'm like, yeah, it is, but you're an anointed woman of God to be there. But you know, it's kind of like that, right? You don't really see the hoop when they build it. You don't see it right away, but one day you're going to go, whoa, that made sense. All the work, all the effort, all the boundaries for our families, all the boundaries for our marriages, keeping our lamps filled with oil. There's a day that it all cashes. And you're going, man, it was worth everything. We love you. My whole booth in here is laughing, so we're done. You've been rocking with Engaging Heaven today. Come on! Basketball is my favorite sport. I love the way you dribble up and down the court.